نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة 100 حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم. Surah Al-Baqarah is nearing its ending. Surah Al-Baqarah is about the mission of the Ummah. The mission of the Ummah demands sacrifice. The mission of the Ummah will only be fulfilled when each and every member of the Ummah is contributing something, anything towards this mission. There are different phases of sacrifice, there are different forms of contribution, but here in the verses that we are about to read, the emphasis is on giving your wealth. Because of all the acts of ibadah, this is one that is amongst the most difficult, depending upon each person's temperament. There are some who find it easy to give and difficult to pray. There are some who find it easy to pray but difficult to give. Be that as it may, the act of giving requires sacrifice, it requires disciplining our stinginess, it requires conquering our inward greed for more for ourselves, and it requires a lot of self-discipline. Then, not only the concept of sacrifice, but how you make that sacrifice, how you give that sadaqah, and then how you protect that sadaqah after giving it. All this is going to be discussed in these verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with a verse that attracts us, inspires us, and rivets us. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. The example of those who spend their wealth in the path of Allah. What is meant by فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ? There are many examples of spending in the path of Allah. For example, anything and everything that you give for the sake of Allah. This could be something that you give, for example, to your needy servant. This could be helping someone pay their debt. This could be the donation you give to a hospital. This could be having a well made or planting a tree, because sadaqah has many faces. But specifically, the supreme form of spending fi sabilillah is when you spend on the deen of Allah. When you spend on the propagation of Islam, be it through media, be it through jihad bil qalam, such as we are endeavoring to do right now. We're endeavoring to do jihad with the Quran, to understand it, to fully appreciate, contemplate it, and then inshallah to convey it. This is a form of jihad with the Quran. Spending on intellectual efforts to spread Islam is fi sabilillah. Spending on any efforts, any campaign that has been launched purely to elevate the name of Allah, purely to increase awareness about Islam, is fi sabilillah. This is the supreme form of fi sabilillah. Although, as I mentioned earlier, every sadqa that you give for the sake of Allah is fi sabilillah. Creating employment opportunities, creating healthcare facilities, in helping eradicate the evils of ignorance and poverty from our land, these are all fi sabilillah. But the supreme example of fi sabilillah is spending on the deen of Allah, that it may spread throughout the world. This is what Allah describes, kamathali habba, is like the example of a grain. أَمْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلَ, that grew 7 ears. فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ 100 حَبَّةٍ, and in each ear there were 100 grains. That means 700 grains. وَاللَّهُ يُدَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءٍ, and Allah multiplies for whomsoever He wills. وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ, Allah is vast, all-embracing, all-knowing. Now, let's understand this concept, this analogy. Allah compares the act of giving for the sake of Allah, for the deen of Allah, to that of a tiny seed that you plant in the earth. When you plant that seed in the earth, you have no means of knowing what will the result be, how wonderful or how strong or how sturdy that plant will be. It requires constant care, constant supervision, and one of the most important things is the quality of the seed that you're planting. The quality of the seed that you're planting will determine the quality of the resulting plant. In precisely the same way, the seed is the intention with which we give the sadaqah. Nawa in Arabic means seed, and it also means intention. Now that's fascinating. This means that the intention with which we give the sadaqah is like the seed which we're planting in the earth. If the seed was good, then the resulting plant will also be sturdy. If the seed was of poor quality or inferior or worthless, then the plant will also be like that. In exactly the same way, when we give a sadaqah, the most important thing is not what you gave, but the intention with which you gave it. Ikhlas is keeping your intention sincere. You start out, I will do this for Allah. A lot of other emotions creep in, sometimes pride, sometimes complacency, sometimes arrogance, sometimes a feeling of despair that no one's appreciated what I've done, I might as well start mentioning it to people. So we start mentioning our good deeds to people so that they register, so that people know how good we are, and by doing that, we deleted it. Now, let's take a look at this analogy. Sometimes we find the seed is superior, but later on the plant is destroyed by insects. And this is what happens when we give a sadaqah for the sake of Allah. Our intention was pure. Our intention was solely for the sake of Allah. But after giving the sadaqah, we fail to protect it. Either we indulge in gossip, or we indulge in backbiting, or we taunt someone, we yell at a servant unjustly and unfairly, we humiliate a child. In some way or the other, we manage to ruin the crop that we harvested. In some way or the other, we manage to destroy the sadaqah we gave with so much pain, with so much trouble, all because of lack of self-control. Now, look at the ending of the verse. That's very important, because this spurs you on to greater heights. Our problem is, we're content with the bare minimum. We give a miserly little sadaqah. It takes us 1 month to screw up enough courage to give that sadaqah. After giving that sadaqah, we're so convinced that, my God, I gave this awesome sum, that we find it difficult to part with money for the rest of the year for the sake of Allah, telling ourselves, but I gave that huge amount. I gave such a huge amount, and I bet no one else gave such a huge amount. We keep reflecting upon it with pride, with complacency, without ever thinking, وَاللَّهُ يُدَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Levels of acceptance differ. Not everyone's sadaqah will result in 700 years. Not everyone's sadaqah will multiply. But here Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يُدَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. What depends is really the intention. Like the man who gave a handful of dates, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept it on top of the pile. Sometimes shaitan actually prevents us from giving a sadqa which is not so grand or impressive. For example, people are collecting money for a charitable cause. All you have to give is maybe a few hundreds, or that's all you have or all you can afford, and you feel ashamed. And you think, if I take out 100 rupees, people will really think I'm such a miser. So it's far better that I don't give at all. And fear of what people would think prevented us from giving a sadqa. And who knows, if we'd given that 100 rupees at a time when we could ill afford it, maybe Allah would have caused it to multiply manifold. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he who gives in charity the value of a date, one date, which he legally earned, this is the important point, and Allah accepts only that which is pure, Allah accepts it with his right hand and fosters it for him, as one of you fosters his mare until it becomes like a mountain. Bukhari and Muslim. This is one of my favorite ahadees. Imagine, you gave one date. Sometimes if you open donation boxes, you know, in charitable institutions, they have donation boxes. And sometimes if you've ever been entrusted with collecting the funds, and you open the box, and there are sometimes 1 rupee coins. And whenever I see such coins, my heart fills with awe at the love of the person who gave that coin for the sake of Allah. And I think, subhanallah, I wonder how much this coin is worth in Allah's eyes. Allah raises that sadaqah, nurtures that sadaqah for us until it becomes like a mountain. So on the day of judgment, you show up, having long forgotten that one little coin you gave, because that's all you could give, and lo and behold, a mountain awaits you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever donates some money for the sake of jihad and remains in his house, he will get a reward of 700 dirhams for every dirham he donates. This is the example of someone who is unable to serve the cause of Islam himself, but likes to support it financially. Sometimes with the best will in the world, you're unable to serve Islam. You want to, but you genuinely cannot. So in that case, don't let that deprive you from at least giving for the way of Islam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you're not doing anything yourself, but you're giving money, he will get a reward of 700 dirhams for every dirham he donates. And whoever participates in jihad himself and also donates money, he will get a reward of 700,000 dirhams for each dirham he donates. And Allah multiplies any reward according to His will. Now here you find something really interesting, that if you are unable to do jihad, A, you can still be part of it by contributing. Secondly, if you are serving Islam, don't let that deprive you from financial contributions. This is what Shaitan does. He magnifies our good deeds, so we think to ourselves, but I'm already doing so much. Sometimes you're doing social work, maybe you're working in a hospital, and we tell ourselves that since I'm doing voluntary work in this hospital, I don't need to give sadaqah. I don't need to give donations since I'm collecting donations from people day and night. No, don't do that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that Allah will multiply the reward. So if there is a human being who is actually participating in jihad and also funding the jihad, which is what the Sahaba used to do, he will get a reward of 700,000 dirhams for each dirham that he donates, and Allah multiplies the reward according to whatever he wills. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said on one occasion, I swear by Allah for 3 things which I am going to tell you about. Remember them well. Number 1, the wealth of a man will not diminish by sadaqah. It seems like a paradox, doesn't it? You give money and obviously there's sadness at all that you could have done with that money. There's sadness at seeing that bank account diminish. But this is what our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. The wealth of a man will not diminish by sadaqah. Number 2. Allah increases the honor of a man who endures an oppression patiently. Another paradox. مَنْ تَوَادَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. Whoever humbles himself for Allah, Allah will raise him. You're going through a problem, you're going through a calamity. If you do sabr, Allah will increase your honor. Allah will give you dignity. Allah increases the honor of a man who endures an oppression patiently. Number 3, he who opens a gate of begging, Allah opens a gate of poverty. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam always emphasized the importance of giving. It says, once we were on a journey with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when a rider came and began looking right and left. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, now this man did not ask, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever has an extra mount should offer it to him who is without it. Whoever has surplus food should give it to him who has nothing. He continued mentioning other properties until we thought that none of us had any right to surplus of his own property. Sometimes you have two instruments or two machines with you. You're using one and you've kept the other one stingily just for a rainy day, just in case this one stops working. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized that the Muslims must be people who give. On one occasion, in the Quran, Allah assures us that at the very least, you will get 10 times more than what you gave. It says in the Quran, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ Whoever brings a good deed, فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا He will have 10 times its like. For example, if you gave 1 rupee, then at the very least you will get the reward of having given 10 rupees. But Allah says here, يُدَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ It can be much more than that, depending upon your intention, depending upon your method, and depending upon where you gave. Now this is the importance of fi sabilillah. There are some places where if you give, you get sawab, yes, definitely. But the advantages are limited. For example, you give to someone money for enough for him to buy a meal. Yes, you get great sawab for that. But the advantage of that, or the consequences of that, are limited to that one man having a meal and maybe giving you a dua and Allah loving you because you showed compassion to one who was in need. Then there's one form of sadaqah where you give and the rewards are far-reaching. For example, maybe you give to an educational institute and people come and derive knowledge. Maybe you give to a hospital and you provide for a machine in a hospital that provides cure for endless amount of patients. And then maybe you spend in the path of knowledge, and because you had a little pamphlet maybe, for example, published on the advantages of spending, and everyone who read that pamphlet, and as long as they go on reading that pamphlet and spending from it, the sawab will go on like ripples in a pool, never ending, endless consequences. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when a person dies, his deeds come to an end. That's what we fear about death, isn't it? That's what frightens us. My story will be finished. That's it, the end. But there are certain people whose good deeds will still continue. Number one, sadaqatun jariya. If you gave a sadaqah, which is continuous. For example, you plant a tree. As long as people are deriving shade from that tree, you're getting sawab for it. You dug a well. You did some act that benefits mankind on a spiritual level or a material level. This is sadaqatun jariya. Number two, ilmun yuntafa'u bihi. Knowledge that is benefited by. You left behind some knowledge that people can actually benefit by. As long as people are benefiting from that knowledge, maybe you published a little booklet on how to read salah. As long as people read that booklet and pray salah, you're getting part of that sawab. And the third, waladun salihun yad'u lahu, a righteous child who will pray for him. These are the three deeds by means of which our deeds will not end. Number one, sadaqatun jariya. Number two, knowledge that is benefited by. And number three, a righteous child who will pray for him. Remember what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah." The dunya is the sowing ground or the sowing field for the hereafter. In this dunya we will sow and we are sowing, and in akhirah we will reap the harvest of our own sowing. If we sowed for akhirah, then we will be successful on that day. And if we only sowed for dunya, then we will be empty-handed on that day. Remember the beginning of the verses before Ayatul Kursi? Ya ayyuhal ladzina amanu anfiqu, spend. Mimma razaqnakum, from what we have given you. Min qabli ya'tiya yawm, before that day comes, on which day there is neither friendship, nor trade, nor intercession. رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said, Allah will speak with every one of you without an interpreter. This was to remind us that each one of us will be individually asked about hisab. See, when we think of the Day of Judgment, we have an image of confusion, chaos, pandemonium, everyone will be running here and there and surely will sneak into Jannah. It won't be like that. There will be absolute, absolute silence, and it will be each human being on a one-to-one relationship or a one-to-one conversation with Allah. All the glib excuses that we planned, I'll just explain to Allah, this was my situation, will desert us. The man will look at his right side and will see nothing but the deeds which he had done before. He will look to his left side and will see nothing but the deeds which he had done before. That's the irony. Our own deeds will be there with us. That's it. Then he will look in front of him and will find nothing but the fires of hell facing him. So protect yourselves from the fire, وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةٍ, by giving in charity even half a date. Never delay sadaqah. Never think, I'll go home and take out the 1,000 rupee note. Give what you have. Never delay sadaqah. The minute you delay sadaqah, the next time, chances are you just forget it. Protect yourselves from the fire even by giving in charity even half a date. And if he does not find it, then with a kind word. The moment should be focused on akhirah, that everything I'm giving, whether smiles, whether kind words, whether advice, whether knowledge, is a sadaqah. Sometimes we do something for someone with great toil and great fatigue, and they don't value it and they don't appreciate it. And then we go around telling people plaintively, whiningly, I went to so much trouble and I really slogged so hard and I was so exhausted at the end of the evening. And despite all my effort, she didn't appreciate it, she didn't value it, she just laughed at me, she just mocked me. And with our own whining words, we just deleted all that fatigue. It could have been recorded for us. It could have been preserved with Allah for us, had we but kept our mouths shut. Had we but kept hold of our tongues. And this is what the next verse goes on to say. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, those who spend their wealth in the path of Allah. ثُمَّ, then, لَا يُتْبِعُونَ, they do not follow up, مَا أَنْفَقُوا, what they spend, مَنَّن, with reproach or with reminder, وَلَا أَذَى, and no pain. لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ, for them is their reward with their Lord. وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ, and there shall be no fear upon them. وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, and nor shall they grieve. Now let's understand, firstly, the concept of man. Underneath this word man, please write a simple definition: to remind someone or to speak of what you gave to someone. Whether you're telling that person directly or you're telling others. To speak of what you have done for any human being. This is man. And this is something we indulge in night and day without realizing. Mothers constantly taunting their children, I went to such care, I went to such trouble. Because unfortunately for us, our focus is not Allah. We do good deeds not for Allah, we do them for people. Expecting gratitude, expecting reciprocal favors. When people fail to show up with that gratitude or they fail to reciprocate in kind, then we start berating them, taunting them, or feeling aggrieved. Sometimes we don't say anything to anyone, but in our heart of hearts we go around brooding and feeling resentful. Look at her, she's so miserly after all I did for her. She can't even be bothered to turn around and thank me. So what does that reflect? That reflects that the intention was not for Allah. It was so people should say, wow, thank you so much. Or people should pat us on the back and people should appreciate. Our favorite word of complaint is, I feel I'm not appreciated. So if we want appreciation from people, then fine. Go on wanting it, but don't expect anything in akhirah. And you won't even get it in dunya, I can warn you about that as well. If you want appreciation, seek it from Allah. If you want true love and true gratitude, In the Quran, Allah describes Himself as Shakirun Alim. Now, Shakirun for Allah cannot be translated as thankful because Allah doesn't need us or our good deeds. But Shakirun is always translated as appreciative. And Shakirun Alim, that He appreciates your good deeds because He knows you. He knows how much it costs you to do that. Sometimes you go to extraordinary lengths to please a person and they will trample on your offering and they will mock at you or laugh at you and not value what you did for them with such pain, such toil, such fatigue. This is why the mu'min does everything for Allah, because only Allah is Shakirun Aleem. Only Allah will appreciate, because only Allah knew how much it cost you, what it took from you, the effort it cost you. So let's take a look at this word man. Man is when we speak about a favor that we have done to any human being. And the context here is financial favor. You gave someone a sadaqah, you helped someone make an investment that saved them from bankruptcy, whatever it is. When we speak about it to any human being, it is man. And man means delete, it's gone. The second word used here is adha. Adha means causing pain. Adha is obviously more vile than man. Sometimes, see, the tragedy of man is that sometimes we're casually mentioning to people. And we don't even mean to show up, but because we casually mentioned it, obviously it would be humiliating for the recipient to be told that everyone in Islamabad now knows that so-and-so lent you this money. And you were in desperate need of this money. And you were financially hard up, so she helped you out. We would not like that our financial needs should be made public, would we? So in precisely the same way, for Allah, the self-respect of a mu'min is very dear. And the self-respect of every individual on the face of this earth is very dear. You are not allowed to speak about it. If you speak about it, it's gone. This is man. And the second form is adha, which is really foul. Adha is when you taunt the person to whom you gave. Man could be that you casually mentioned it, but adha is worse, much worse. Why? Because adha is where you taunt them. For example, this happens with our servants. We gave our servant a loan, okay? And then the next time when we need them and they say, no, we have to go for a holiday, we say, we can't control our unruly tongue, and out the words come recklessly rushing before we can stop them. Have you forgotten what I did for you? Gone, delete. Have you forgotten the time I helped you? What about that loan I just gave you? Now, sometimes it happens that your servant comes to you asking for a loan which you cannot afford to give or which you do not wish to give because you just gave her a loan yesterday. Even then, protect her self-respect. There is no need to become ballistic. There is no need to start humiliating her by yelling and shouting and reminding her, what about the loan I gave you yesterday? You haven't even paid that back as yet. And then we go around encouraging this sort of foul behavior by telling each other that yes, you have to be harsh with them, otherwise they sit on your head. You have to be tough with them. Tough with them, or toughness or firmness, does not mean that you humiliate any human being.